Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Chav Zalud. We are holding on daf Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. We are at Hiniach Lenavian Parah Muchkeres Umuskeres, which is a few lines from the end of the page, five lines from the end of the page, on daf Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Hey, share sponsored by Dr. David Lander and his wife and children, Ali Lishmas, his mother, Goldabas Simcha La Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They shall return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for these sponsorships. So first thing we're going to discuss is pishnayim on things that are a shevach de memela. It's a shevach that happens to the property that the father left, as the Yerusha goes up in value, and it goes up in value on its own. So does a Bukhar get pishnayim of that which goes, the increase in value that happens on its own? So we're going to have a discussion, Rebbe and the Chachamim, about that. And the Gemara is going to discuss very briefly a Bechor getting paid or paying off loans of his father. Does he get paid pishnayim with loans that are owed to his father? Does he have to pay pishnayim of loans that his father owed money to other people? So the Gemara is going to discuss that a little bit, and then the Gemara is going to discuss how to paskin in Machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim, in this particular Machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim about Shevach the Memela, as well as Machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim in general. Halacha Karebi Mechavei Rav. What does that mean? Does that mean Halacha Karebi even Mechavei Rav, even when it goes against the majority? And how strongly do we assume Halacha Karebi Mechavei Rav, and yes or not Mechavei Rav? Is it something that we have some leeway in being able to paskin one way or the other? Then about midway through Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to start discussing Pishnayim on a milveh and on ribis. That does a Bechor get Pishnayim if the father was owed money, and does he get Pishnayim if the father was owed ribis? So is that subject to Pishnayim? And that's going to bring us all the way to the end of the daf. So let's begin again about five lines from the end of the page on Kuf Chav Gimel and Beis. Hiniach Lenavian Parah Muchkeres Umuskeres Biyadacher Moshe Sarah Ba'afar V'yalda Bechor Notel Ba'Pishnayim. The brisa we had learned yesterday had a din that the father left a para that was rented out, and someone else was using that para and paying for the use of that para, or the para was grazing in some swamp somewhere and it gives birth, so the Bechor gets pishnayim of the profits from that. So ask the Gemara, well, wait a second, if you're going to tell me that when it's Muchkeres and Muskeres, someone else is taking care of it, someone else is using it, where it's not in the Rishus of the father, and even though it's not in the Rishus of the father, it's in the Rishus of the Choker, or the Socher, the farmer, the renter, and nevertheless, you're going to say the Bechor gets Pishnayim of the Shevach, so Roa Ba'afar, where it's in the Rishus of the father, it's just grazing somewhere else, it's just out to pasture. So Mibai, so you need to tell me that the Bechor is going to get Pishnayim of that, meaning that's much more Muchzak. The whole question over here is, does a Bechor get Pishnayim? We know that a Bechor does not get Pishnayim B'ra'oi Kiba Muchzak. So the whole discussion this Bryce is having is what's considered Ra'oi and what's considered Muchzak. So if the father has full control of this para, it just happens to be out by Afar, it just happens to be out grazing somewhere, that is much more Muchzak than when it's in the hands of a choker or a socher who's using it. So you're going to tell me the Bechor gets Pishnayim, it's considered Muchzak when it's in the hands of a choker or a socher, then of course it's considered Muchzak in a case where it's out to graze. So just tell me that the Bechor gets Pishnayim by a part of Muchkeres Umuskeres, because that's considered Muchzak, and Kal V'chomer, I'll know that the Bechor gets Pishnayim in the baby that's born, when the Vlad that's born, when it's out grazing. The Ritva and the Tosos Rid bring a raya from here that when we give the case of Muchkeres Umuskeres, the Nidon is about a Vlad, meaning the Nidon is not about some other Shevach that the Para has, it's also about the Para giving birth, because otherwise the Gemara's Kasha doesn't really make sense. Meaning, Roa Ba'afar Mibai sounds like it's an apples to apples comparison, and we're making a Kal V'chomer. That if it's muchzak enough for you to be entitled to this in a case where it's a little less muchzak, so when it's more muchzak, for sure you should be entitled to that very same thing. So it would make sense that the issue by Muchkeres Muskeres, that it was, even though it didn't say this fairish in the Braisa, was that the para had a baby And then the case of Roa Ba'afar, which did say Beferish in the Brisa, and then the Parah had a baby. So the whole Nidon is till you get Pishnayim in the Vlad. So I answer the Gemara, no, how come Ashmalan? The Brisa is coming to tell me by telling me that third case of Roa Ba'afar, to Muchkeris and Muskeris, Dumyu to Roa Ba'afar. It's telling me that Bechor gets Pishnayim in the case of Muchkeris and Muskeris, only in a case where it's similar to Roa Ba'afar in the following sense. Ma Roa Ba'afar Shevach Ademimei Lukas, even lo kachasi ba'mazona. Just like in the case of Roa Ba'afar, the Shevach that happens on its own. The Yorshim don't have to spend any money to make that Shevach happen, because it's, the Yorshim aren't feeding the animal. It's out in grazing in the middle of nowhere. So they're not the ones that are feeding the animal. They're not investing anything in the animal. And that's when the Bechor gets Pishnayim, Sa'af, Mukheris, and Muskeris. So too by a Parah, that's Mukheris or Muskeris, the Bechor only gets Pishnayim in Shivcha Dememeilo Ka'asi Delo Chasri B'Mazoni, when the Shevach happens on its own and the Yorshim aren't doing anything to spend money to feed the animal. The Yorshim don't have to provide for the animal from their own pockets, because when an animal is by a socher, the assumption is that it's the socher's responsibility to feed the animal. And that's not considered that it's asi biyadayim, that's considered that it's happening memela, because the socher is the one that's chayiv in the mizonos because of the tanai, because of the conditions of his deal that he made with the father. So the gabi, the yorshim, that's considered a shevach to memela. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah points out, that even though somebody's feeding the animal in the case of the choker and the socher, so it's not exactly the same, right? When it's roa ba'afar, the animal's eating on its own, nobody's feeding it. In the case of the choker socher, somebody's feeding it, but that somebody is a somebody who had a deal with the father. So klape the yorshim, it's happening memela. It's all happening by itself. So, but if the yorshim were to have been the ones that were feeding it, then the shevach of the schirus and the shevach of the vlad are not considered to be ba memela. They would not be considered something that's just an automatic profit. That would be considered a return on investment that the yisomim are making. And whenever it's a return on investment, the Bechor does not get Pishnayim. Meaning if the Yisomim themselves, the Yorshim themselves, are the ones making the investment in that property to enhance its value, to increase its value, Bechor does not get Pishnayim of that. So the only case of Chakirus Uschirus where the Bechor will get Pishnayim is where there's no investment being made by the Yorshim. They're not the ones that are feeding the animal. So says the Gemara, this brisa that holds that a chor gets pishnayim as long as the shevach is b'memela, as long as it comes on its own money, who is the author of this brisa? So Rebbe, this must be the shita of Rebbe. Tetanya ein b'chor notel pishnayim b'shevach sheshevchu mechasum lachar misas avien, that the Tanakhama says a b'chor never gets pishnayim in an increase in value on the Yerusha after the father dies. Father dies, Yerusha is worth $1,000. After he dies, it goes up in value and it's now worth $1,500. Bechor does not get Pishnayim of that extra $500. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says though, Omer Ani, that's a phrase that's unique to Rebbe and Shas. You don't find other Tanaim and Amoraim saying Omer Ani. So that's what Rashi writes. It's a Lashon of Anivus when Rebbe says Omer Ani. It doesn't sound like Anivus in English. I say, it sounds like, but it's a Lashon of Anivus that, take it for what it's worth. I say, I guess it's all about the tone. But Omer Ani, Rebbe says, Bechor notel pishnayim b'shevach sheshevchu nechasim lachar misas avien, avlo b'shevach sheshbichu yusomim lachar misas avien. Rebbe makes that distinction, that if it goes up in value because of an investment of the Yisomim put something into it, Bechor does not get pishnayim of that. But if it's a shevach to memela, it just goes up on its own in value, a Bechor does get pishnayim of that. So whereas the Tanakhama says, any increase in value subsequent to the father's death, the Bechor does not get pishnayim of, Rebbe says, if it's an automatic, it happens memela, that it goes up in value subsequent to the father's death, then the Bechor does get pishnayim. So now the Braisa tells us, elaborates on the shita of Rebbe about pishnayim when it comes to a milveh. Yarshu shtar chov, let's say they yarshu nashtar, that someone owed their father money. So Bechor notel pishnayim, Bechor gets pishnayim of the money that they're going to be able to collect with that shtar, even though the father didn't have that money. So you would have thought that that's rough. Ratwi, meaning that that was money that was destined to come to the father, but the father didn't have it in his bank account, he didn't have it in his pocket, but he was muchzik in the shtar. And since he's muchzik in the shtar, and it's through that shtar that he's able to collect that money, that's considered muchzik, it's not considered Ratwi. It's as it, so therefore, the shtar is what's mashpiach the Dmei Piraon, and that's considered a shevach de Memela. The father was muchzik in the shtar is now what grows the Dmei Piraon, it sort of brings about the money, so that's considered a shevach de Memela, and therefore Rebbe holds a shevach de Memela, that a Bechor gets a Pishnayim. The Rashbam points out, this only works if it's a milva b'shtar, right? Meaning when we say that a Bechor, that Rebbe holds a Bechor gets Pishnayim in money that's owed to dad, that's only if dad had a shtar, because the whole linchpin of the ability for this to happen, the whole reason it works, is because he was muchzuk in that shtar, and now the shtar brings about payrus, so it brings about this money. But if it was a milval peh, even if there were edim involved, where the lova would not be able to say lo lavisi, nevertheless, since the lova will be able to say parati, because some of his malvus chaver be'edim ain't tzarich leparo be'edim, the lova will always be able to get out of having to pay it off. So it's not a guarantee to get paid. So it's only considered roi. It's not considered muchzak. Meaning the reason the shtar is considered muchzak is because when you have a shtar, says Rashbam, you have a guarantee. You're going to get paid. Because if you have a shtar, then the guy can't claim that he never borrowed the money. He cannot claim that he already paid it, because you have a shtar. So you know that you're going to get the money back. But in milval peh, there's no guarantee, and therefore it's not considered to be muchzak. The ktsos in Simon Reish Ayin Ches says he doesn't understand why does Rashbam need to give this whole fancy explanation of that you're guaranteed as opposed to not being guaranteed, and that's the difference between milva b'shtar versus milval peh. He already said that a bechor gets pishnayim of the milva because the piraon is considered the shevach of the shtar. It's because the father is muchzak in something. That thing is the shtar, and now the shtar produces. So it has nothing to do with whether you're guaranteed, not guaranteed. When it's a milva al peh, there's no thing. There's nothing that the father was muchzik in. That's the ikar chilek. So the ktsos is bothered a little bit by why the Rashbam. That's a general issue with the Rashbam that a lot of the achronim always struggle with. Is the Rashbam generally didn't write like a regular Rishon. Rishonim, you know, every word is so precise and everything is exactly, you know, telling you a point, and it gets to the one point. And the Rashbam makes like 7 points. You know, it makes a lot of points. That's why he says a lot of different things. So says too much. You should have stopped, right? I mean, you already said that the point was that you have a shtar, that you have something. So anyway, Yotzalei and Shtar Chov, the Brisa continues. If the father is not owed money, but owes money to somebody else, there's a shtar chov against the estate. Bechor no sein pishnayim. The bechor has to give pishnayim of that chov, because all the nechasim are meshubad equally to pay back any loan that the father had. And since the bechor gets pishnayim of the yerusha, so and all the father's estate is meshubad to pay off that the father's chovos, so he's got to pay pishnayim of the chov. This, Rashbam points out, has nothing to do with the previous din. This is not like the flip side of him getting pishnayim of loans owed to his father. Loans owed to his father is a separate issue. This is saying because he gets pishnayim of Yerusha in general, therefore he has to pay pishnayim of his father's of what his father owes. Has nothing to do with the fact that he's getting that he gets pishnayim of a milva b'shtar that's owed to his father. This is about the fact that he gets pishnayim of a yerusha. So since he gets pishnayim of the estate, and the estate has to pay off his father's loans, so he has to pay off the father's loans. So he's got to pay pishnayim in the paying off of the father's loans. V'im amar eini notel v'eini nosein. But if the bechor says, you know what, I'll do without pishnayim of the yerusha. No, thank you. I'm going to take just a regular portion of the Yerusha, and therefore, when it comes time to pay off dad's loans, I don't want to pay Pishnayim of dad's loans. So Rashi, he's allowed to do that, because he'll only be Yorish Chelek Pashut. So Mimele, he's only going to have to pay in the father's loans, like someone who got a Chelek Pashut, because he didn't get any more than anybody else. So the Gemara says, why did the Rabbanan hold that a Bechor does not get Pishnayim in Shevach to Mimele? Meaning, all this started with the Machlokas, Rebbe and the Chachamim, where the Chachamim said that any increase in value of the estate after dad dies Bukhar does not get Pishnayim of. Even if it's an automatic, it happens by itself, there's no investment, there's no, it just happens, Bukhar does not get Pishnayim. Rebbe said, the Shevach, the Memeila, the Bukhar does get Pishnayim. So where did the Rabban get their idea that the Bukhar does not get Pishnayim of a Shevach, the Memeila? So Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says when it describes Yerushas Bukhar, La Seis Lo Pishnayim. So Matana Kari Rachmana, it calls the Chelek HaBukhara a Matana. La Seis is a Lashon Matana. So it's telling us that it's similar to a Matana in the following way. Ma matana adamati iliyade, just like a matana only applies to something that that is already in the hands of the nosein, a person can't give something that's not yet in his rishus. Saf chelik b'chora adamati iliyade. So too, the father can only give the chelik b'chora if it was something that he once had. But any increase in value that happened after he died, the father never had. So how can he give a matana for something that he never had? So the way chelik b'chora works, the way pishnayim works, is similar to a matana, in that it has to be something that once belonged to the father. But if it never belonged to the father because it was a shevach that happened after the father died, so therefore it's not going to work. The Rashbam says, and why doesn't it work? Why does matana not work adamatio liyadei? Because ain't the maknet davar shalom liyolam. You can't be maknet something to somebody if it doesn't exist. You can only be maknet something that already exists. Rabbi Yonah just adds that even if a person can be maknet asada, even though a person could be makna sada as far as the shevach that's going to come from that sada, meaning you could be makna someone a dekel lipeirosav. I could be makna to you a dekel tree for the peiros that are not yet grown on that dekel tree but are going to grow on that dekel tree, but you can't be makna the shevach without a zikwe in the guf hasada. I cannot be makna you the peiros hadekel. I could only be makna you the dekel legabe its peiros, meaning you own this tree insofar as the peiros that it produces are going to be yours. But I cannot give you peiros that don't exist. I can't just say I'm giving you the peiros of the tree. So, and even Rav Meir holds on to makna davar shelo b'liolam, but he could always be chozer b'kol zman that it's not b'liolam. The kinyan is not going to be chal until the item is actually b'liolam. So therefore, the Rishonim are pointing out over here, this comparison is glot. Meaning what the Chachamim are saying is that just like by a matana, it doesn't work if the item you're trying to give is not realized. It's not here for the no saint to give it. So too Pishnayim of Bukhar is not going to work if the father never realized that value. If that value only came into being after the father died. So how's Rebbe going to respond to that? Rebbe Omer Kra, the Pasuk says, Pishnayim. It says Pishnayim. Makish chelik b'char lechelik pashon. Pishnayim tells me that whatever a regular son is getting, a b'char gets double of that portion. And therefore, ma chelik pashon avagav delamat liyadei, a chelik pashon, for sure, you get even if the father didn't have it. Meaning, let's say, dad died, and then grandpa died, after dad died. So the grandchildren do get that Yerusha, even though the father never got it. Father never saw that Yerusha. So it's clear that a Pashut is going to get Yerusha that the father never had. So Av Chelik Bechora, Av Al Gavdolo Matal Yadei. So to the Chelik Bechora, he's going to be able to get, even though dad never had it. Rabbanan Nami Yoksev Pishnayim. What did the Rabbanan do with Rebbe's Pasuk of Pishnayim? Doesn't Pishnayim make it sound like that whatever the Pashut gets, the Bukhar is getting twice that? Hello, Misbebei Achad Mitzra. No, Pishnayim tells me that the Bukhar can demand that his Pishnayim, that his double portion, should be in proximity to each other, should be adjacent to each other. That if the guy has, the dad had three lands and two sons, right? Three properties and two sons, and one property was distant from the other, you can't tell the Bukhar, you get the distant property and one of the two properties that are adjacent to each other. No, Pishnayim means the Bukhar can demand, like a din of the bar mitzvah, that they both properties be adjacent to each other. That's all I get from Pishnayim. But not that whatever the Pashut gets, the Bukhar automatically gets double of. V'Rebbe Nami Yoksiv Laseh Slo. What does Rebbe do with the Rabbanan's drasha that it's supposed to be like a matana, and therefore, just like a matana can only be something that the nosein matana once actually had, so too Pishnayim should only be on something that the father once actually had. So who Shem Amar Eninoto Veninosein Rashai? What does he do with Laseh Slo? He uses that to tell me that if the Bukhar says I don't want Pishnayim, and therefore, because I'm not taking Pishnayim, I don't want to have to pay Pishnayim of any chovos that our father owed, then he's allowed to do that. Because the by a matana, you can't give a person a matana bal karcho, and therefore a bechor could say, you can't give me pishnayim bal karcho. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to have to deal with all these chovos twice as much as everybody else. It's too much of a headache for me. I'd rather not take the pishnayim and not have an extra responsibility of dealing with dad's chovos. So the Gemara explains, what is the case of shevach that Rebbe and the Chum disagree about? Meaning we have this machlokas between Rebbe and the Chum about shevach de memela, that it goes up in value on its own. So what is in that category? What kind of improvement of increase in value is considered in that category of shevach de memela that Rebbe and the Chum disagree about? So Amar Rav Papa, dikla va'alim, ara va'asik sirton. If a father left a dekel tree, and then after the father died, the dekel tree grew, it became thicker, it became stronger, or the father left a piece of karka, and then afterwards, on its own, it became better. Somehow the karka, there was some overflow of the yam and it left some sand there which fertilized it just properly or whatever. Something happened just by forces of nature. That's the point. By forces of nature, the item that the father had became a better item after the father died. The land, the property that the father had became better property after the father died. That's not the machlokas. Everyone would agree that a bechor gets pishnayim of that dekel and that karka. Even the chachamim would say that improvement is not considered a davar chadash. That's the natural growth of a dekel tree. It's a force of nature. That's when a father leaves a dekel tree, it's valuable because dekel trees grow. So that's just what happens. Ki pligi, the machlokas, Rabbi and the chachamim is bechafur vavishuvli, is he left some stubble, some grain that was stubble, and then after he died, it became shibalim, it became big stalks, or shalufa fi vahavitamri. It was a dekel that began to be mafriach peros, and then after the father died, it became full-fledged tamarim, it became fully grown dates. Demar savar shivcha de memela. Rebbe holds that's a natural force, and therefore it's considered something that the father was muchzak in, and the father gets, and the bechor gets pishnayim. Umar savar and the Chum say that no, ishtani, that its whole name changed. It became a brand new thing. And so it wasn't what the father had. The father never had dates. The father had a palm tree. He never had dates. And now it became dates. So it's a shem chadash. It's a brand new name. When the father left the dekel tree and now it's a bigger dekel tree. So the father had a shem dekel tree and the force of nature just caused it to continue to grow. So that's not called shevach at all. That's just considered something that, of course, the bechor gets pishnayim. But the chum will say that if the father had a tree and now he's got dates, so that's a brand new thing, and therefore the Bukhar is not going to get pishnayim in that. That's where you have the machlokas Rabbi and the Chachamim. Okay, good. Now that I know I know that there's a machlokas Rabbi and the Chachamim, now we've defined which case is the machlokas Rabbi and the Chachamim. What's in that category of shevach de memela that Rabbi and the Chachamim disagree about? Now we got to talk about how do I paskin in the machlokas Rabbi and the Chachamim. Samar Rabba Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Chia. Also, k'divrei Rebbe, if a dayan paskins like Rebbe, that bechor gets pishnayim of the shevach de memela, asa. His psak din is binding, and he cannot be chozer on the psak din because it's not considered a toa b'dvar mishnah. Meaning, when a person is toa b'dvar mishnah, he makes a mistake in something that's a clear psak one way or the other. So then you got to be chozer. Then the din is chozer. But if he paskins like Rebbe, that is not a toa b'dvar mishnah. K'divrei chachamim. Asa, if he passes like the Chachamim and he says that the Bechor should not get Pishnayim in the Shevach, also binding Psak. Why? Why would it be a binding Psak in one direction or the other, in either direction? Because Mesapkele, Rebbe Chiya is not sure. I alacha k'rebi mechaveiro v'lo mechaveirov. Do we say that we paskin like Rebbe when he has a machlokas against another individual Tana, but we do not paskin like Rebbe when he has a machlokas against a group of Tanaim, like in our case? Oh, alacha k'rebi mechaveirov v'afilo mechaveirov. Or do we say that we even paskin like Rebbe when he goes against chaverav, when he goes against the rabbim? So in this case of shevach, it's a case where Rebbe's going against the rabbim. And I don't know. I don't know. Do we paskin like Rebbe even mechaverav or not? And therefore, if a dayan goes in either direction, He did not make a blatant mistake. He didn't make an obvious mistake because we're mesupuk, which way we're supposed to go on this. Now, this question of Halach Kareb Mechaverov Velo Mechaverov, the Rashbam writes, is a broad discussion. I mean, it's not about our sugi. It's not about do we pass like Rabbi Mechaverov in this case. It's about do we pass like Rabbi Mechaverov in any case that he argues against the Rabbim. Tosos and Dibra Maskel Mesapka writes in the name of Rabbi Natam that it's Pashut that the Ein Halacha Kareb Mechaverov. It's only in this din that we're Mesupuk, that maybe Halacha is Kareb Mechaverov. That's what Rabbi Chiyo was Mesupuk about. Meaning, in general, in Gantz Shas, Halacha Kareb Mechaverov, Lo Mechaverov. And that's for sure. And it's only over here, for whatever reason, we might even Paskin like Rabbi Mechaverov. Now, if you hold that Halacha in general is Kareb Mechaverov, Afilu Mechaverov, why would they phrase it as Halacha Karevi Mechavero? Meaning, what do you? It should just say Halacha Karevi, right? Meaning, why would you say Mechavero? If the Halacha is always like Rebbe, no matter who he's arguing about, just say Halacha Karevi. Why would it even say Mechavero? So the Rashash points out that it's Bala Afuke Me Rabo, that Halacha Karevi, whenever he argues with equals, no matter how many equals there are, but not when he argues on his own Rebbe. So that's why it says Chavit Mechavero, as opposed to just Stam, that the Halacha is like Rebbe. That's the Ha'ara the Rashash has. There is an interesting Machlokas Achronim, a fairly contemporary Achronim from the last century. What if, when we say that the Dayan therefore has leeway to pass like Rebbe or to pass like the Rabbanan, does that mean he just flips a coin? Like, I don't know, okay, so I like this guy better, so I'll pass like Rebbe. I like that guy better, I'll pass like the Rabbanan. Like, what is that? So Rav Elchanan writes in Kovitz Shurim, in Os Shinayin Ches, he quotes his son-in-law of Meir Atlas, where he says that no, it means that the Dayan is Machriya. He has some Raya to be Machriya. That if a Dayan feels that he has a Raya to be Machriya, either like to be Machriya like Rabbi, or to be Machriya like the Chanim, he's within his rights to do so. As opposed to something that we have precedent that it's been decided already over centuries, he would not be within his rights to do so. That's all it's saying. But he's got to have a Raya. It's not just something that he could just decide on his own to do. However, the Chaznish says, no, sometimes in Halacha, there's Takaros Chachamim, that in certain places, that a Dayan can pass however he wants. And that what's the Halacha? Is it this way? Is it that way? It's whatever you want it to be. And this would be such an example that the Dayan is able to pass in whatever he wants. So Amar Rav Nachman Amarav, Rav Nachman Amarav says, also lasus kedivir Rabbi. You're not allowed to do like Rabbi and give the Bukhar Pishnayim of this Shevach to Memela. And if you did, you violated Losata Mishpat, and Tzchozer Adin, you made a mistake. So Kasavra Allah Kareb Mechavero Velo Mechavero, because he holds with certainty that Allah is Kerebi only Mechavero, but not Mechavero. And over here, he's going against Chaverov, and therefore we would not paskin like him. Now, when it says Osir, it doesn't just mean Osir to do like Devir Rabbi, it means that it's actually not a binding psak, and it's going to be chozer. The Rashbam points out that he only uses the lashon of iser agav Rabbi Chiya, who said asa kedivir Rabbi asa. So he says don't do it that way. But really, it's not only a din lechachila. Even b'diavad, it's not a binding psak according to Rav Nachman Amarav. Rav Nachman didei Amar, Rav Nachman himself disagrees with Rav. He says Motor lasus kedivir Rabbi, that you're allowed to do like Rabbi, because Savar Allah Mechaverov Afil Mechaverov. And over here, motor means not only motor, that you're mechuyev to do like Rabbi, meaning that that's really the halacha. The halacha is taka like Rabbi, and therefore, because the halacha is kerabbi Mechaverov Afil Mechaverov, the halacha is like Rabbi, no matter who he's arguing about. Tosas raises the question: why does it say motor lasus kedivir Rabbi if halacha is kerabbi Mechaverov? It's chayev lasus kerabbi. So that's what Tosas says. That he doesn't mean that really the halacha is 100% like Rabbi, but it's a machlokas between Rabbi lechaverav. It means that it's not a hachra, there's never been a hachra, and therefore it's mutter. But the pashtus is that the Gemara is trying to say is that Rav Nachman disagrees with what he had just quoted from Rav, and into the opposite extreme that you have to paskin like Rabbi. Amar Rava, also lasses kedivir Rabbi. Rava paskins, you're not allowed to do like Rabbi. V'masa, and if you did paskin like Rabbi, meaning a dayan paskins, that on a shevach to mela, that a bechor gets pishnayim, asli. Then it's a binding psak. Kasavar Matin Itmar, because Rava holds that the rule in the Beis Medrash is that the halacha is noted toward the Shita of the Chachamim, meaning L'charchila, you're supposed to paskin like the Chachamim, but there's never been a Beferish Pesach that you must paskin like the Chachamim, and therefore B'dievet, if the Dayan paskins like Rebbe, it's not a Toa B'dvar Mishnah, because there never was a Dvar Mishnah that says that we must paskin like the Chachamim, even though that was the Minhag Poskim that people did. But it's a violation of Minhag Poskim when there hasn't been a clear hachra does not reverse a din. So now the Gemara brings a brisa that elaborates on Shitas Rebbe. Tani Rav Nachman b'Shar Sifri de Beirav. Rav Nachman taught a brisa in Shar Sifri de Beirav. What is Shar Sifri de Beirav? So Sifri de Beirav are the brisas on Sefer VeYikra, what we call Torah's Kohanim. Shar Sifri de Beirav are the brisas on Sefer Bamidbar from VeYishlchum and Amachna and Bamidbar Parakei until the end of Sefer Devarim, and the brisas on Sefer Shemos from Chodesh Zelchem until the end of the Sefer are called Mechilta, and and that's where we say Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, all of those brisos. Stam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda, Stam Sifri is Rabbi Shimon, Stam Seder Olam is Rabbi Yossi, Stam Tosefta is Rabbi Nechemia, and they're all Alibid Rabbi Kiva. All of these were authored by Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva, right? That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that pretty much all of Torah Shemotah was Rabbi Akiva's Talmid, was his new Talmidim, right? It was Talmidim after he lost the 24,000 Talmidim. But that's what the Sifri Deberav is, a collection of brisos. It's a medrash. So it's not in our versions of it, but okay, the Gemara had such a version. So Tanya Rav Nachman B'Shar Sifri de Beirav, that when it says by Yerushas Bechor, that the Bechor gets Pishnayim, Bechol Asher Yimatzelo, so it sounds like money that the father had while he was alive. That comes to tell me that if the Yorshin put an investment in the property and increased its value after the father died, they built houses on the property, they planted vineyards on the property, that the Bechor does not get Pishnayim. But if the Shevach happened on its own, but Shevach that happened on its own without any investment put in by the Yorshin, just on its own, it was a shevach to memela, then a bechor does get pishnayim umani Rebbe hi, and that's exactly like Rebbe, because Rebbe said a shevach to memela, a bechor does get pishnayim. Tani Rami Bar Chama b'shar sifri debei rav. Rami Bar Chama had a brisa from shar sifri debei rav, again from the same midrashim, b'kol asher yimatzilo prat l'shevach sheshavchu nuchasim la'achar misa savien. That's coming to exclude shevach de memela, that if the shevach happened on its own after their father died, the bechor does not get pishnayim. V'kol shkein shevach sheshvichu yorshin la'achar misa savien de lo shakil. And for sure not if it came about as a result of an investment. So money Rabbanan, and that price seems to be going like the Rabbanan. So again, just a restatement of the machlokas that we've been discussing the whole daf, right? That if it's a shevach to memela, Rebbe holds the Bechor gets Pishnayim, Rabbanan holds the Bechor does not get Pishnayim. So we have one price in the Shar Sifri de Beirav that seems to conform to Shitas Rebbe, another price in the Shar Sifri de Beirav that seems to conform to Shita of the Rabbanan. So I'm Rabbi Yomar Shmuel, new topic now. Ein Bechor notel Pishnayim b'mil, that a Bechor does not get Pishnayim in a loan that the father had loaned money to someone else, and now the loan comes due, the brothers all split that evenly. So who is the author of that? That the Bechor is not entitled to Pishnayim in money coming in to the father. Leman, whose shita is that following? E lema the Rabbanan, if we're assuming like the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi about Shevach, it's pashut that milva is not subject to din bechora. Hashta shvacha di isei berishu say amir Rabbanan lo shakil. Milva mibai, if by nechasim that the father had and it just went up in value, the bechor doesn't get pishnayim of. Milva, which the father didn't have at all, he didn't even have that money. Of course the bechor is not going to get pishnayim of that. So according to the Rabbanan, it's a davar pashut, the bechor is not going to get pishnayim of a milva. Ella the Rebbe. So it must be that we're going like Shita's Rebbe, that dafka by the Shevach, that we're going to say Bechor is going to get Pishnayim, because at least the Nechasim themselves, where the Shevach is coming from, was in the father's possession. But a Milva, which the father didn't have in his possession at all, the Bechor does not get Pishnayim of. So it says, Marvela Hadatanya, but that which the Brisa says, Yarshu Shtarchov, Bechor Notel Pishnayim, Bein B'milva, Bein B'ribis, money, lo Rebbe v'lo Rabbanan. But wait a second, if now you're telling me that even Rebbe you hold that a Bechor gets Pishnayim in Shevach to Memela. Is going to agree that a Bechor does not get Pishnayim of a Milva? Well, we have a Brice that says a Bechor does get Pishnayim of a Milva. So now who's that going like? It's for sure not going like the Rabbanon, because the Rabbanon hold the Bechor doesn't even get Pishnayim in Shevach to Memela. And it's not going to fit, according to Rebbe, the way we're teaching up Rebbe now, because now we're saying that Rebbe holds, yes, a Bechor gets Pishnayim in Shevach to Memela, but not in a Milva. So who's the one that holds that a Bechor gets Pishnayim? Bein b'milva, bein b'ribis. How did he get ribis to begin with? So that's what the Rashbam says, because you're allowed to charge ribis to a Nachri. So it could be that it was a Nachri that owes him ribis. It doesn't have to be that it was a Jew. So, but who's the author of that? So says Gemara, Liolam l'Rabbanan. That really Shmuel was speaking according to the Rabbanan, that Bukhar does not get Pishnayim of Shevach, and meaning that first price is going like the Rabbanan. And Rebbe would take a hold that Bukhar gets Pishnayim of a milva. The Rabbanan hold he doesn't, and it's not a davar pashut that he doesn't, because the Rabbanan itzrich, and I need to be told that he doesn't get pishnayim of a milva, because salkadait chamina. I might have thought milva kim denakat shtara kamanda gavya dami kamash milan. I might have thought that since by a loan the father had the shtar, so it's ki'ilu he had all that cash, and therefore it's considered muksak biado. So kamash milan, that the money itself is not considered muksak biado. So Shochu Mitam, they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael. If the father left a milva bishtar, right, the father was owed money. B'chor notal pishnayim b'milva, avalo b'ribis. A distinction that the father will, the b'chor is going to be able to take pishnayim of the actual principal that the father is owned, is owed, but not any ribis that comes from it. So the man, who's that going like? Ilem the Rabbanan, if you assume like the Rabbanan, hashtag shivchadi isay berushu se'am Rabbanan v'lo shakil, milvan bibayi. Again, according to the Rabbanan, shevach of a nechassan that the father actually owned, the Bukhar does not get pishnayim of. For sure he's not going to get pishnayim of a milva, elul Rebbe. And if you, so what's your only other option? To say it's going like Rebbe. But Ula Rebbe Baribis Lo, why would the Bukhar not be entitled to Pishnaim of Ribis according to Rebbe? Vatanya, doesn't the price to tell us Rebbe Omer Bukhar Notal Pishnaim Bein B'milva, Bein B'ribis. Rebbe's on record as telling me the Bukhar gets Pishnaim both on the Milva and on the Ribis. So it can't be that the Sholchu Mitam, that a Bukhar gets Pishnaim B'milva but not B'ribis, is going like Shitas Rebbe. We know Rebbe also he does get Pishnaim B'ribis. Says Mar Liolim Rabbanan he, Milva Kamanda Gavya Damya. That really it's going like the Rabbanan. And even l'shitasam, it's dafka by shevach that a bechor does not get pishnayim, but milva is as if it's already collected, and therefore the bechor does get pishnayim of that. So we have a machlokas amuraim, what the shita of the chachamim is when it comes to a milva bishtar. According to Shmuel, the bechor does not get pishnayim of that, and according to the amuraim in Eretz Yisrael, who are sholchu mitam, a bechor does get pishnayim. So it's all machlokas within the shita of the rabbanan that a bechor does not get pishnayim of shevach to milva. Mela, does he get pishnayim of a milva bishtar? So that's a machloka samurai, what the rabbanon would hold. So I'm le ravacha bar rav le ravina ikla amemer la asrin v'darish. Amemer came to our place and he darshened b'chor notal pishnayim b'milva v'lo b'ribis. That b'chor gets pishnayim b'milva and not b'ribis. So amar lei. So ravina said ravacha bar rav nardai l'tamayu. This is nardai that our amemer was from Narda. So it's like Rav Nachman, who's also from Narda. So it's consistent. So Gemara brings the sheet of Rav Nachman in his machlokas with Rabbah about a milva to Amar Rabbah, because Rabbah told us that if Yisomim were left a milva from the father, gavu karka yeshlo. If they collect karka from the lova, so then the bechor gets pishnayim of that karka, because karkos are meshuba to the loan the whole time. There's a shiba nechasim, and therefore that's considered that the father was muksik in it, and memela the kids are going to get pishnayim, the bechor is going to get pishnayim. But gavu ma'us ain lo. But if it's only money, then the Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim in that, because that's, it was never Meshubad. The Metaltim are not Meshubad, and therefore the father was never Muchsuk. But Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman says the opposite. Gavu Ma'us Yeshlo. He does get Pishnayim of money if they collect money, because if the loan was with money, the loan was with money, and therefore the father is considered Muchsuk in the money that's coming back to him. Gavu Karka Ainlo. Karka is what's paid when you don't have money. So if they're collecting Karka, that's a brand new thing. That's not considered something the father was Muchsuk in, and therefore the Bechor would not get Pishnayim of a collection of karka. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up in the bottom of Amud Beis with Amalei Abaye L'Rabba. Everyone have a wonderful day. Gesundheit, Winter. Okay.